Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, and tonight verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, in the Beatitudes, we have actually a description given to us by Jesus of the characteristics of a Christian. These are the things that mark a believer's life. He is a man that is poor in spirit. That is, he's not self-asserting. He is not aggressive. He's not a braggart. He is a man who is meek. That is, he does not have an exalted opinion of himself. He is a man who hungers and thirsts after righteousness. He wants to do what's right before God. He wants to do what's right before his fellow men. He hungers and thirsts for righteousness. He is a man who is merciful. He does not seek revenge. He doesn't have that I will get even with him mentality. He is a man who is pure in heart. These things are just not, they are not just outward facades, but they come from the man's heart that has been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is a peacemaker. He doesn't go around stirring up strife, but the opposite. He seeks to bring warring sides together. He seeks to bring peace where there is division. Now, a man with such characteristics, how do you think the world will respond to such a man? Will they admire him? Will they seek to elect him president? How revealing this next beatitude is, revealing of the true nature and heart of the world. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. These things that Jesus has been describing are issues that would be declared to be righteous. This is the right way to live. This is how God would have us to live, how God would have us to be. But if you are this way, don't expect the world to pat you on the back. Don't expect to get some kind of award or medal from the world. Just the opposite. The world hates a person who lives a righteous, truly righteous life, and will persecute such a person. And so Jesus, having described how we should be living a righteous life, he then declares and warns that if you live this way, you can expect persecution. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. A few observations here. First of all, Jesus didn't say, blessed are they who are persecuted for being different. Now, it is true that a person who is different is often persecuted, but there's no particular blessedness attached to that. I know some people who are very obnoxious in their witness for the Lord. They are obtrusive. They are forceful. They create animosity by just the method that they use in trying to cram Jesus Christ down someone's life. And it creates resentment and often persecution because of the obnoxious way that they witness for the Lord. Now, the Lord didn't say, blessed are they who are obnoxious in their testimony and are persecuted for that being obnoxious. When I was in college, back in the ancient days, in Los Angeles, there was a woman that hung around that particular section where the college was located. And you would see her standing on the sidewalk, always looking up in the sky. Her face was very tanned, and she dressed in sort of an unusual way. She was different. And one day, out of curiosity, as I was walking down the sidewalk and I came across her standing there looking up into the sky, I said, pardon me, ma'am, just what are you looking for or looking at? And she said, Jesus said to look up and lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. I said, yes, and Jesus also said, occupy till I come. And she walked away saying, thank you, God, for the persecution. But there isn't a blessedness attached to being weird or unusual or doing things that are out of the ordinary. But if it is for righteousness' sake, because you have taken a righteous stand and persecution comes, then there is a definite blessedness attached to that. Jesus didn't say, blessed are they who are persecuted because they have taken a political stance. There is a real danger of being drawn into the political arena. And politicians are masters at using people to promote their cause. And if you want to get persecuted, just get involved in the political scene. The spin masters of the world are able to make good to look evil and evil to look good. And there is no particular blessedness promised to those who become involved in political issues, as right as they may be. The question is, why are we surprised when the world persecutes the righteous? If you will look at history, this has been the case throughout the history of man. The righteous are always persecuted by the unrighteous or by the world. It began way back just out of the Garden of Eden with Cain and Abel. This week we are studying 1 John chapter 3. And there in 1 John the 3rd chapter, John speaks about Cain killing his brother Abel. And John says, why? And then he answers this question by saying, because his works were evil and his brother's were righteous. And so the persecution of the righteous began very, very early in the history of man and has continued to the present time. They that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. That's my most unfavorite promise in the Bible. But if you seek to live a righteous life, don't be surprised if you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. We read of the prophet Jeremiah and how there were many false prophets who were saying, peace, peace. The Babylonians will never cast a spear into this city. They'll never shoot an arrow into the city. And they were assuring the people of protection, though the people themselves were living very ungodly lives. Now, Jeremiah was telling the people that God is going to use Babylon as his instrument of judgment against you because of your unrighteousness. And God is going to deliver Judah into the hands of the Babylonians. And so there was a great controversy in the king's court because of these diverse prophecies. The false prophets telling them, you're going to be safe, everything's going to be okay. And here is Jeremiah saying, no, Babylon is going to conquer you. And when the Babylonian troops appeared, the false prophets were still comforting the people with lying prophecies. And Jeremiah was saying, look, submit to the Babylonians, or they will conquer you. They will destroy the city. They'll destroy the temple, and they will conquer us. And the false prophets were saying, no, they'll never break through our walls and so forth, and giving false comfort to the people. Now, the king liked the things that the false prophets were saying, and he didn't like the things that Jeremiah was saying. He didn't like the truth. And he accused Jeremiah of being in league with the Babylonians because Jeremiah was advocating surrendering. And so Jeremiah was placed in the dungeon. He was let down in a well, in the mud and in the mire, in the darkness. Food was dropped down to him. Persecuted because he dared to speak the truth, whereas the false prophets were feted by the king. We have, again, the case of Daniel. As far as the Bible is concerned, he's one of the finest characters in the Bible. Excellent. Just was one of those special individuals who had purposed in his heart to just live for the Lord and not to defile himself, to live a righteous life and an exemplary life, which Daniel did. And when the Babylonian kingdom was conquered by the Medo-Persian Empire, and Darius became the king, Darius chose 100 men to be the governors over the many provinces. And over these governors, he chose 3 men to be presidents. And the chief of these was Daniel. He recognized the beautiful character of Daniel. And so he made him the chief over the rulers over the Medo-Persian Empire. But these other men were jealous of Daniel's position. And they were watching him like a hawk, waiting for him to do something wrong, to slip up somewhere, in order that they might report him. But he was so honest, so impeccably honest in all of his dealings, that they couldn't find a single thing. There was no hedging, there was no fudging, there was just straightforward honesty with this man. And they finally became convinced, we're never going to find anything, any fault with this fellow. He is just too good. He's unreal. The only way we can get any accusation against him is to get the king to make a decree that to obey the decree would violate this man's conscience before God. And so they devised upon this scheme of coming to Darius with great flatteries and telling him that people just didn't understand how important a person he was. And they built him up with flatteries, and they said, we want people to recognize just what an important position you have. And so we have formed this law that no one can pray to any god or ask of anyone anything except you. All requests must come to you. And that way they'll know just how important you are. And we've got this all framed out, and all you have to do is put your signature here on the dotted line. Well, without thinking the thing through and being puffed up with the flattery, he signed the decree. These men knew that Daniel was faithful in prayer, that 3 times a day during the normal Jewish hours of prayer, 9, noon, and 3 in the afternoon, that Daniel would face towards Jerusalem and pray. You see, when Solomon dedicated the temple, Solomon in his prayer said, Lord, if the people sin against you and they be taken captives by their enemies, and if they turn toward this place and they seek your face and they call upon you, then hear thou from heaven and answer their prayers. And so Daniel was following this prayer of Solomon in the dedication of the temple, in that he was open the windows towards Jerusalem and 3 times a day was praying for the people, because God had said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will answer their prayers. And so Daniel was facing Jerusalem, praying 3 times a day. Now, Daniel knew that the king had signed this decree that if anyone should make a request of any god or any person for 30 days, he would be punished by being cast into the lion's den. And knowing that the decree had been signed, Daniel didn't close the windows, go into an inner chamber of the house and whisper his prayers, but left the windows open, facing Jerusalem. He continued his habit of prayer. And of course, the men were waiting outside, and as soon as they heard Daniel praying, they rushed to the king, and they said, "We've already found a man who has violated the law." And when the king discovered it was Daniel, he discovered the wicked devices of these men. But because they had the law of the Medes and the Persians that a decree signed by the king could not be altered or changed, it was necessary to fulfill it against really the king's desires and to place Daniel in the lion's den for violating. But the persecution, and it was for righteousness' sake. It was because he was so righteous, they couldn't stand him. When Stephen was standing before the council in Jerusalem, making his defense, Stephen said to them, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted?" It was a probing question, one they didn't like to face, but the truth was, their fathers that they revered so highly have persecuted all of the prophets. Every prophet of God, it seems, was persecuted by their fathers. Of course, the greatest example of all of suffering persecution for righteousness' sake is found in Jesus himself. And we do read concerning Jesus, as Peter was talking to the people in the house of Cornelius there in Caesarea, he was telling them about Jesus, and he said, "God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him." Now that's the witness of Jesus. He went around doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Matthew records concerning Jesus that he went about all of Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He tells us in chapter 9, "And Jesus went about all of the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people." So he went around doing good. He went around healing people. The main exhortation of Jesus was that we should love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we should love our neighbor as ourselves, that we should be merciful, that we should be forgiving. Peter wrote concerning Jesus, "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he committed himself to him that judges righteously." The writer of the book of Hebrews, testifying of Jesus as our great high priest, said that he was holy, he was harmless, He was undefiled, and he was separate from sin. Yet, look what they did to him. They persecuted him, even putting him to death. So, the persecution of the righteous is something that has gone on from the beginning of the history of man. In Hebrews chapter 11, as the writer to the book of Hebrews has told us about the men of faith in the Old Testament, he said, "What more can I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith they subdued kingdoms, they wrought righteousness, they obtained promises, they stopped the mouths of lions," referring to Daniel, "they quenched the violence of fire," referring to the three Hebrew children. "They escaped the edge of the sword, and out of weakness were made strong. They waxed valiant in fight. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. The women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings, scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with a sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And yet they wandered in the deserts and in the mountains and in the dens and the caves of the earth." Righteous people are persecuted. "But blessed are ye," blessed are they, "who are persecuted for righteousness' sake." Of course, all you have to do is read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and it is the history of persecution, the persecution of the church, the persecution of the apostles. And it gives the stories of the persecution of the early church, how it was persecuted by the world. But we should note that persecution does not always come from the world. Many times, persecution comes from religious people. It was the religious leaders who conspired to crucify Jesus. And they forced the issue of his crucifixion when Pilate was determined to let him go. In Russia today, our missionaries that are there are facing persecution, but not from the Communist Party. But the main persecution of our missionaries in Russia comes from the Russian Orthodox Church, the priest of the Russian Orthodox Church. Our missionaries in Mexico find that the greatest persecution comes from the Catholic Church in Mexico. In India, the Christians are being persecuted by the Hindus. In Iran, Saudi Arabia, and in other Muslim-controlled nations, the great persecution is coming from the Muslims. All religious groups, all declaring a knowledge of God. And yet, these are the ones who are fostering the great persecution against the missionary endeavors from our missionaries who are around the world. It's tragic, but it seems like the most intolerant people in the world are religious people. When our daughter Cheryl was attending Westmont College years ago, she had a difficult time because she was so committed to Jesus Christ that the other students in a supposed Christian college made fun of her, mocked her, persecuted her, to the extent that she did not return for her second year, but decided to go rather to UCI. And after a few weeks at UCI, she said to us, "You know, it's a lot easier living a Christian life at UCI than it was at Westmont. There they made fun of my commitment to Jesus. At UCI, at least they respect me for my commitment." And that is sort of a sad and tragic indictment against religious people. So persecution doesn't always come from the outside. Many times the persecution comes from within. If you are determined to really live a life for Jesus Christ, live a life of righteousness, and the pressures that Cheryl faced at Westmont was drinking because the kids were making fun. She wouldn't go out and drink with them. She wouldn't have sex with the fellows. And so she was marked and made fun of because of her standards that she had set to live a righteous life. Jesus said, "Blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake." There is a blessedness, though you can expect, and don't be surprised, when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Now, why does the world hate the true Christian and seeks to persecute them? First of all, because we are not of this world. Jesus told his disciples, "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So the first reason why the world persecutes the Christian is because you are not of this world. You don't go along with the world. They persecute the Christian because they don't know God. Jesus in John 16 warned the disciples, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time will come that whoever kills you will think that he is doing God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me." So the religious persecution comes because they really don't know God, though they profess to, nor do they know Jesus Christ. Persecution comes because men love evil and they hate good. In the third chapter of John, Jesus said to Nicodemus, "This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither will he come to the light, lest his evil deeds should be reproved." What is the future for those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake? Jesus said, "Theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And because they do belong to the kingdom of heaven is one of the reasons why they are persecuted. Now, going back at the beginning of the Beatitudes, the very first Beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus said, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the very thing that he said was related to the person who was poor in spirit is now related to those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I believe that these are the completeness of the Beatitudes. Some people say that verse 11 is another Beatitude. I believe that verse 11 and 12 are just sort of amplifications of this verse 10. That he is talking about the same thing of being persecuted for righteousness' sake, only begins to describe a little bit of the forms that the persecution will take. Now, you may disagree and say, oh, no, that's the ninth Beatitude, and I believe that's... Well, fine, believe it. It's not worth arguing over. I'm only telling you the way I see it, but you don't have to agree with that. Gracious, let's not persecute each other because we believe that the next one is another Beatitude. We'll get to verses 11 and 12 in our next study, and I won't try to convince you that I'm right. It's just, we'll just look at it, what it says. Jesus said to his disciples, you are not of this world. Jesus said, woe unto you when the world speaks well of you. For so did the fathers of the false prophets. So if the world is patting you on the back and saying, my wonderful person, wonderful. Look out. You better take a close examination of yourself. Because that's the way they treated the false prophets. Paul said, our conversation or our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for our Lord Jesus Christ. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's where our citizenship is. Writing to the Colossians, Paul said, if you then are risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on the things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, that is, the things of the body, fornication, sexual impurity, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God is coming on the children of disobedience. You're citizens of the heavenly kingdom. God requires that we be holy, for he is holy. Pure in heart. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For he that hath the love of the world in his heart hath not the love of the Father. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is of the world and not of God. But the world is going to pass away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abides forever. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are citizens of another kingdom. We are aliens here on this planet. As Abraham, it says he was as a stranger and a pilgrim, just passing through, looking forward to that city of God, the city which hath foundation, whose maker and builder is God. And because we are aliens to the world system, to the filth and the ideals and the practices of the world, you're living a godly life will engender anger, strife, persecution. But blessed are they that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. It's only a further proof that you are a citizen of God's kingdom. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So the next time you find yourself experiencing persecution, seek to analyze it. Have I done something stupid? Have I been weird? Or is it truly for righteousness' sake? Because I have dared to speak up for righteousness. I've dared to condemn sin. I have refused to listen to a filthy joke. I've walked away from foul conversations. If the persecution comes for righteousness' sake, then just know that you're blessed. It's interesting, when the disciples were arrested for preaching the gospel and were threatened not to speak anymore, and they were beaten by the religious leaders for not obeying their command to cease and desist preaching Jesus Christ, they went away from the beating, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer the reproach for the cause of Christ. So they were rejoicing, and the word blessed means, oh, how happy. The next time you experience persecution for righteousness' sake, rather than get all upset and down in the mouth and say, well, that's it, you know. Like Jeremiah at one point became discouraged when he was placed in the dungeon for telling the truth. Jeremiah said, then I said, you know, I'm not going to speak anymore in the name of the Lord. I'm through. I've had it. And he was determined not to give any more warning, not to speak God's word to the people anymore, because look what's happened to me, because I dared to tell the truth. But he said his word was like a fire within my bones, and I became weary trying to hold back. Sometimes we have the same attitude of Jeremiah when persecution comes. We think, well, that's just it. I'm not going to, you know, expose myself anymore. Well, no, rather just realize the Lord says, oh, how happy you should be. We'll get into this next week, because Jesus does amplify this part. He said, rejoice and be exceeding glad, because you're in good company. so persecuted they the prophets that were before you. Good sign that you're a true prophet of God if you're getting persecuted. By the way, have you been persecuted lately? You know, if you say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm never persecuted. Yeah. Uh-oh. You better take a second look. Maybe it's that you're not living a righteous life. Because they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Father, we pray that you will help us to live a righteous life, holy, pure, spotless. The kind of life that you lived. The kind of life that brought persecution against you, even death by crucifixion. May we not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. May we not be ashamed of standing up for holiness. May we not be ashamed of rebuking evil. Lord, help us that we might live truly righteous lives in this sinful world, that we might stand out as a light in a dark place, that our lives might be as savory salt, warding off putrefaction. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? The pastors are down here in the front tonight in order to minister to you. If you need prayer for any reason, if you are sick, if you're going through some heavy trials, if there are family problems, whatever. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And they are here to pray for you and for your needs tonight. So as soon as we are dismissed, we invite you to come forward and receive prayer and ministry from the pastors as it is their desire to help you in your spiritual walk with the Lord. May the Lord watch over and keep you in his love. May he cause his grace to abound in your life. And may he draw us close to him and so conform us into his image that we will be as he is. And as Paul the Apostle said, that we might know him in the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his suffering. May we just be molded into the image of Jesus and thus be his true representatives before the world. In his name, amen. Jesus, what a wonder you are. You are so tender, so pure and so kind. You shine like the morning star. Jesus, what a wonder you are. God.
this is the end of this message. If you would like further information on any of our products or to receive our free catalog, contact The Word for Today. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Or you may reach us by our toll-free number, 1-800-272-WORD. That's 1-800-272-WORD.